It's Tuesday, 1st of May, and you're listening to the Game Ring Greencast, your guide to the world of gaming news from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Puce.
Hello.
And Catty.
Hello.
Another short list because everyone's abandoning me. And that's where I was watching the Hulk music.
We don't normally get to my name so fast.
It's a good thing Puce could make it this week, because otherwise I'd have gone straight to your name.
At that point, you just pass it on to Catty, and Catty can solo it.
Oh, it will just be an hour podcast of me talking about the films and things I've been doing this week, because I do not pay attention to the gaming news. I write some of it, I do not pay attention to what it is.
Well, luckily there's been quite a bit of news, so we've got several things to talk about, but first, let's find out what everyone's been doing at Puce.
I've mostly still been just playing Battletech. I've not really had much time to do anything else, but I've been jumping in and doing the odd Battletech battle in gaps. I'm still enjoying it rather a lot. It's still got its claws into me. I think it's a really addictive thing. I love it to death. It's a great game.
Okay, and Catty, what have you been up to?
I've been playing a couple things. I decided to fire up Dota 2 for no real reason. The download took so long that I've only played like one game of it, and I've forgotten about it again. So moving on, for the site, I am playing Kenshi. It's an RPG for people who like real-time strategies, so I'm kind of enjoying it. You start off with a character, and you can build up like a team, and you can basically just build a colony. There's a lot of resource management. It's very easy to become over-encumbered, and the combat in that game is very loose. You kind of just tell your people to go to a place and attack a thing, and they'll do that to the best of their ability, which at the start of the game is they have no ability. It's the combat system itself is very in-depth, in the sense that you can lose limbs and things, and there is a whole system for getting like robot limbs. So like individual parts of your body can be injured, and you can if you have someone with broken legs, they can't walk, they have to be carried, and there's a whole system. The game is very much systems on systems. There's no story, there's no anything like that. It's just a survival game, but yeah, it's a survival game. It's a survival RPG that plays like a real-time strategy, and I'm enjoying it so far. But it is very big to go through. It's a lot to take on. I've also been playing a mobile game. And I need to reach my phone to make sure I get the name right, because it's got a stupid name. I have been playing... I can't unlock my phone. It's fun. I have been playing... it's just called Harry Potter. I'm like, that's brilliant. The Harry Potter game that came out.
The one that everyone's up in arms about.
Hogwarts Mystery. Yeah, I don't know what to... It's fun that the first time you really run out of energy is when a kid is being strangled by a plant.
That's the perfect time to run out of energy.
Pretty much everyone has come across that.
So you have to pay for more energy or let the kid be strangled while you're...
I mean, there's no time limit on that one, so you can just wait for the energy to come back. Some of the classes have time limits. And you can choose the time limit, and so the longer ones you take, they're harder to do. They require more energy, but you get more out of them. The energy system is a bit bollocks. It takes a long time to get energy back. It takes 4 minutes to get an energy point back, and energy doesn't really... a class takes maybe 50, and your max is 25. At least my max at the moment is 25. The game reliably informs me that I've gained some, but I'm pretty sure I always had 25. But past that, there's a good game in here somewhere. I've not found it. It's very tap and do a thing, wait for energy, tap and do a thing, wait for energy, tap and do a thing. There's a potentially fun story here. Because the game is set before Harry Potter. I think in the canon, the game starts the year that Harry is sent to the Dursleys.
Okay.
So it's all taking place before then, and it's sort of just a... But, I don't know, it's taking so long to get anywhere. I've been playing it for about 4 or 5 days now, and I'm on the 5th mission. So, yeah, I don't really...
It's one of those things where energy mechanics completely ruin it.
Yeah.
You mean Dungeon Keeper.
Exactly, yeah. If they removed that or made it so I had 4 times the energy and the energy came back every minute, then this game would be actually kind of fun to just blast through a mission in, like, 20 minutes over the course of my day. And I could just slowly get through it. But I'm concerned that there's just not a lot of content. There's apparently, you can go up to the 7th year. There's stuff that I've seen that's like, you can't do this until you're in year 7. But I'm not going to get there. I'm barely going to get through the first year before I give up on this game, I think. Unless things drastically change and the story becomes more interesting.
It just goes to prove you're just a muggle, Catty.
Yeah.
It was never meant to be.
The character's really weird as well. Because you can create your own character and you can pick, you just straight up pick what house you want to be in. You do a Harry Potter and it's like, oh, I just want to be in Gryffindor, but I picked Hufflepuff. Hufflepuff is the best.
Naturally.
I'm interested to see what happens if you choose Slytherin, because the bad guy, the Draco Malfoy, is in Slytherin for me, and I assume that would be the case if I chose any of the other houses. I wonder what house they're in if I choose Slytherin. I might have to. I know someone who chose Slytherin. I'll go and ask them. But
they're probably still in Slytherin. There's just lots of infighting.
Probably it'd be quite fun.
Because to be as fun as it would be that they've shuffled stuff around, it sounds like it's not that high an effort a game.
Well, I've remembered a point I was making before I got sidetracked there. You create a character, like you pick your character, you choose your house, you do everything to pick your. I mean, the creator is very basic, but the art style is very basic, so there's not a lot you can do. But then they just give you a backstory. And it's kind of, it's like, oh, I thought this was me going to Hogwarts. This is just someone else going to Hogwarts and I'm just playing along. And I kind of wish they hadn't done that, because it's... I guess it will be interesting for the story, but I think it would have been more fun to have the friend be this person, and then they're just tagging along while you help them solve their mystery, rather than... Is a mystery that I just don't have any investment in because it's not mine, but it is mine.
You don't like strong characters.
It's not a character though. They're a blank sheet of paper because depending, it's got a full RPG thing of you got to put stat points in things. By which I mean you've got courage, empathy, and knowledge. Depending on what classes you go to, you level them up, and some options are grayed out if you don't have 5 courage. They've given their non-character a backstory, and I don't like it. I wish they hadn't. Because it just makes them not the character I'm playing.
Yeah, it sounds a bit like it's all over the place. This kind of sounds like it's got some redeeming features, but hidden behind so much nonsense that it makes it difficult.
Basically what I'm saying is make it a visual novel, Like, it basically is already. It's a visual novel with some weird QTE stuff for touchscreens. Just make it a full-on visual novel, bring it to PC, and that game will sell. Because it's new Hogwarts, it's new Harry Potter.
Anything with the name Harry Potter sells. But if it's a free game, it sells microtransactions.
It'd be interesting to see how much it does actually make if the energy mechanics is restrictive as it sounds.
Yeah, and the problem with the energy mechanic is a lot of people reviewed this game. They brought people to play it like at their studio or at certain events and things, and that build, the energy mechanic, was much more forgiving. That's been the big controversy about the game, really. That the review copies that were saying, oh yeah, this game's actually really good, were playing not the final version of the game.
Well, there'll probably be a cracked version available on the internet. Mod money or whatever. Mod energy. I'm not trying to come up with search terms you should look for, but yeah.
No, not at all.
You mentioning mobile game made me remember one that I've been playing this past week. Lightslinger Heroes puzzle RPG. It's like a bubble matching game. You've got to fire bubbles at other bubbles to match colours, but rather than just be a person who has energy, like Bubble Witch Saga, and you eventually run out of energy, you have all these... There's a gacha, so you get to unlock a free character every 4 hours, and build up your team, and each character can level up and equip gear to make them more powerful, and as you match bubbles, you don't have to clear the level to win. You have to match bubbles to power up your heroes to do damage to the enemies that appear. There's a lot more to it than just a simple match three game. Really enjoy it.
That sounds kind of cool.
And I ducked into Ghost Recon Wildlands the other day. I figured I'd give the Sam Fisher mission a go. I loaded it up, got the call. It said wait until 9 p.m. So I bummed around collecting things as I usually do, and I managed to fail a mission that I wasn't even doing because I was in the area. An alarm went off, and so it came up, ooh, you failed this mission. The screen faded out, it came back, and it was night time. So I got a call saying, oh, meet me at these coordinates. Turns out I was absolutely miles away from there. So I fast travelled, and I had to be there by 4 a.m, and by fast travelling I arrived there at 5 a.m. So it said, oh, wait until 9 p.m. I just turned it off.
Yeah, it's so stupid that there isn't just an automatic time skip when you get to the mission marker. It's silly. It's a shame too, because it's a really good mission.
I imagine it is. I wasn't in the mood to...
No, I wouldn't be after doing that either. I did something similar, but I got there with like 5 minutes to go, so it started, and then I failed it during the mission because it became dawn. But luckily, when it reloads, it actually resets the time back to 9 o'clock the previous night. So after your first fail, it kicked in properly, but it's still stupid.
That seems especially stupid for that would be a fine thing if you were playing a Bethesda game where you can just sit somewhere for 12 hours, but you can't do that in Wildlands, can you?
No.
Yeah, having time-sensitive missions in a game where you can't really have any control over the time is a bit weird.
I should have like gotten in a helicopter and flown over. I would have been there in like half an hour, but I thought, oh, it'll be quicker if I fast travel. Nope, it's going to take 7 hours to get there. Apart from that, I've been playing some more Metro Last Light. Managed to solve the bug that every time I tried to knock out or kill this one guy, the screen just went black. Turns out because I had SSAA turned on. Don't know why it waited until over an hour into the game to do that. But...
yeah, it's definitely a very weird bug, but please you figured it out.
I've also dipped into Astroneer. I played about half an hour of it the last time I played, and that was ages ago. Since it's still in alpha, in early access, there's not much to it. You go around this planet or planetoid and gather materials to make things to survive, build up your base. Well, that's what the latest update is. It's a base building update, so I figured I'd give it another try. Rather than just dump you on this planetoid with nothing, with no idea what to do, it gives you maybe 10 objectives, and then you're left to your own devices again. It's still a very chill experience. As long as you can find enough materials to build, I forget what they're called. You need to make these little pylons to be able to funnel oxygen into your suit. You leave a trail of them from your drop ship, your little capsule, and have them trailing behind you, and then you don't die of no oxygen.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I'm definitely interested in what it ends up being once it's further down the line. But I do like the art style. I do like the cutesy, simple shaded polygon look. It's nice.
Yeah, it does look really good. The last thing I've been playing is Superman Shadow of Apocalypse, the GameCube game. It's different from what I thought it'd be. It's not just flying around Metropolis and beating up bad guys. There's a level structure. I honestly should have seen that coming because it's a GameCube game. It's not a modern game. It doesn't have to be open world. One level has you playing as Clark Kent and sneaking around a laboratory and having to avoid being seen by people or security cameras. You can burn out the security cameras with your laser vision, and it's just a room full of mines just floating there, underwater mines just floating there, and you have to use your freeze breath to blow them out of the way so you don't touch them. It's quite a lot of fun bits in that game.
Is it one of those games, does it control quite well? Because a lot of the GameCube era stuff is a bit ropey.
Yeah, if the controls were better, it'd be a much better game. The flying isn't great, because, of course, these days you're used to right stick does camera, left stick moves. Right stick makes you go up and down when you're flying, and side to side, whereas the left stick makes you move, and left and right makes you turn. So it does get a little bit confusing at times.
I still don't.
Yeah, the pre-standardized camera controls. Sorry, Katty, for cutting you off.
Yeah, it's just to say I still don't think we've got a perfect three-dimensional movement control system. Like most first person games and things, that's obviously still mostly 2D movement with a little bit when you're jumping. I don't think we've got flight down very well yet. Because some people, I personally am quite a fan of the one where you point the camera, the thing goes, which is normally done on like mouse movement or right control. A lot of people don't like that.
Yeah, flight controls really don't suit a controller. They are more suited to a flight stick. So you've got many more planes of movement. Right, we'll move on to news now. A while ago, we had David Brevik on the podcast promoting It Lurks Below, which has just been released on Steam Early Access. It's priced at $19.99, and news piece. Brevik explained, at the Game Developers Conference last month, I talked to a lot of indie developers who recommended doing early access through Steam. They basically said I'd be crazy not to do it. So that explains why he's going into early access rather than aiming to release it. If you didn't listen to the podcast at the time, or since, it's kind of like Terraria or Starbound, but with tons of loot.
Yeah, it's basically Terraria meets Diablo for loot. And that works out at £15.49, apparently, according to the UK store page. I'm definitely curious as to how this ends up, because he's doing this as a solo endeavour, which is interesting. But just the addition of randomised loot could change that type of game quite dramatically, depending on how much variety there actually is. And it depends how interesting the loot is as well. It's like if it's just like single stat boost, then it's probably not going to be amazing, but depending on if they've got interesting effects and stuff, it could be really cool.
Yeah, I think that game is going to live or die based on its loot. Although so far it's got very positive reviews.
As well it should.
And
one of the screenshots got a cow, which is perfect because of course it has, because it's
of course it's because it's David Brevik.
Yeah, it's got to have a cow somewhere.
The only negative review I've found so far is really wanted to play this game, but lefties are unable to play due to no key rebinding. So as things go, that's pretty patchable.
Yeah, I mean it's very early days. Hopefully that's something that's planned.
I can't choose which keys to use, therefore it is literally unplayable. I'm not going to learn your control method. Right, from one very positive reviews to a series that has been getting positive reviews. The latest entry of the rebooted Tomb Raider franchise, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, has been revealed to everyone. With a brand new trailer, which shows Lara with her trademark ice pick pickaxes, because who needs to dual wield pistols, taking on all comers as she is wont to do.
Yeah, the one thing I find interesting about Shadow of the Tomb Raider from what we've seen so far is that it seems like Eidos Montreal have main credit, with Crystal Dynamics in second, which is interesting. It suggests that Crystal Dynamics might be taking a back seat or working on something else as well.
Crystal Dynamics are working on an Avengers game.
Ah, okay. But the trailer itself is very odd tonally. It's like they've just jumped ship and gone straight to Lara being a mass murderer again.
Well, they've been slowly building towards that over the course of the last two games.
She kills scores of people in Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah, in the first one, she feels sorry about doing it. She doesn't want to.
Now she has the bloodlust.
She's been in
the Mayan apocalypse,
pit.
You see.
Ah, yes, the Mayan apocalypse from 2012. Is this game set in 2012?
I just love how at the end of the trailer, the kid she saved is so terrified of her. I really hope that this is like the first like hour of the game, and then the remaining 10 hours of the game is just an existential crisis that Lara Croft has inside her own head. The tombs she is raiding are the tombs of her mind, to make sure she doesn't become just flat out insane from the realization that she is now the monsters that she was fighting in the first place.
Dark. Well, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, I suppose.
Exactly, it all fits.
She's now turned into Nathan Drake.
But Nathan Drake with a conscience.
According to the chart they've released about the three editions, the Standard, Digital, Deluxe, and Croft edition, there are going to be challenge tombs in the Season Pass. Plenty of weapons and outfits to unlock / buy. And multiple narrative side missions are also going to be in the Season Pass.
I love how you don't get the Season Pass with the Digital Deluxe Edition. You get different
DLC. No, and you only get one outfit.
That.
Yeah.
You do get the soundtrack and two of the three additional weapons / outfits.
No, it's just the one.
The first one. Yes,
yeah.
I misread the chat.
Yeah, so it's not actually that much, really. Sad record, but it's bound to be good, because the previous two games had great soundtracks, to be fair.
I don't know how... They've not put a price on this. I haven't gone looking for one, but that Digital Deluxe Edition is basically just the Standard Edition after the first 48 hours. After the 48-hour... early access to the full game, which, why are we buying that? Why is that a thing? Just release the game 2 days early. Don't make people buy your single player game 2 days.
At least they're not trying to make us augment our pre-order this time. They tried that with Mankind Divided. Oh, if we get so many pre-orders, we'll release the game 4 days early.
See, they missed a trick there. They could have just done it simply with a pick your pre-order and then had Lara's picks as the iconography. Yeah, as a Digital Deluxe Edition goes, it doesn't actually sound that deluxe.
I mean, the Croft Edition is basically just what the Digital Deluxe Edition would have been 5 years ago, with the Season Pass including the three launch outfits and weapons, and then just the normal DLC. For some reason, they've split those things out of the... I suppose it's not launch day DLC if it's not DLC.
No, I'm sure you'll be able to buy it at some point.
Everything has its price. From the jungle, the Mayan jungles, to the forest. Yeah, see what I did there? No, you don't.
You're the master of segues.
You get a bear at this.
The forest has released out of early access with version 1.0. It's taken 3 years.
So if
you're... Go on.
I was going to say, it's interesting that it has taken 3 years, just because, as I remember it, 3 years ago, the game, the full, like, so The Forest is different from other survival games in that there is a narrative there, there is an end goal that you can get to relatively quickly, sort of like 10, 12 hours. And as far as I'm aware, that's been in the game since the start. And hasn't changed. Like, the only things that have really changed in the forest are just tweaks and adding new items and things.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it mostly just progression and the sort of tech tree sort of side of stuff?
I mean, there's not even really that in the forest, really, because the forest is about exploring caves, rather ironically. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the big things it says that they've added is an alternate ending and a rework of the end game, whatever that constitutes, and a cave rework.
I mean, to be fair, they have changed the cave designs pretty regularly. I think it's every month or so they change the cave designs around.
If you've been waiting for the forest to release, you'll be happy to know it's gone up in price by £4.50. Well, not happy to know, but you should know.
It's yeah, the actual patch notes for the update.
£10.99 to
£15.49. Oh, crikey. Yeah, the patch notes have got an awful lot of bug fix type notes, but they are quite extensive. It's a massive list of fixes, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how significantly different it is from the last time I played it, which was ages and ages ago. So I might jump into that and have a look.
Yeah.
Now it's
I'm
out.
I'm definitely interested in jumping back in, and I'd love that I scrolled down, sorry to distract myself, but improved animation sync of creepy ragdolls in multiplayer. that's just on the patch notes. But yeah, I'm interested to go back to this, because I don't think we finished the game. I know what the ending is, because I have done it, but I don't think we did it as a... Sorry.
As a collective.
Yeah, I don't think we did it as a collective.
Interestingly, they also say that they're going to release the VR version for free on May the 22nd for all owners of this version. So you get the VR version as well. And I can't imagine playing it in VR, because I jump at the slightest sign of anything at the best of times, let alone in VR.
I kind of hope that a lot of VR versions of other games have forced the motion controls. And I've got a Rift Cap set up so I can use my phone for VR games, but I can't use my phone for any VR games because I don't have the motion control set up. So I'm kind of hoping that they let me just play with my keyboard and mouse as I normally would, but use the VR, because I'm really interested in that as an experience.
Yeah.
Well, a game that has also received a patch recently, Fortnite Season 4 has begun with version 4.0. That means, Season 4 as far as Battle Royale is concerned, and version 4 for the Save the World portion, the main purchasable co-op version. The main interesting point for Battle Royale appears to be that Comet has crashed on the map and caused many locations to be transformed. So your favourite landing points might have changed, and if you consume glowing rocks, it says you lift off with low gravity. So flying confirmed.
Yeah. Well, apparently the Save the World portion of this event apparently has you unlocking superheroes of some description. So that probably does tie into that in some way. As for the map change, I did jump in earlier to have a little look at the crater, and it's quite a significant portion of the map that's changed. But the thing is, I can't actually remember what was there before it. But everyone thought they were going to hit, is it Twisty Towers? Tilted Towers. Everyone thought the comet was going to hit there, but it hasn't. It's hit to the side of that. But it is quite an interesting spot on the map, the crater. It's definitely a different sort of spot. The only problem is, of course, is with it being new, everybody and the dog is aiming to land there straight away. So I've not actually lasted very long to actually have a proper explore. So.
Looking at the heroes, there's the mythic soldier Raven, who uses dual-wielding pistols, unlike Lara Croft. Shadow Ops 8 Shadow Ops heroes, Soldier, new subclass Double Agent, which wields dual pistols, Ninja, which is a skilled spear warrior, and makes a flinch of poison enemies with waves of shuriken.
That's not what I associate with ninjas. Spears and ninjas, that's not, surely.
There's also Outlander, weaves in and out of enemies, stunning them and finishing them off with close-ranged weapons. And Constructor, which is an explosives expert.
Yeah, that's one thing that's interesting about the Save the World mode compared to the Battle Royale, is that there are quite a lot of character classes now, and they do all play quite differently. Obviously, that's something that would probably be quite difficult to mash up with the Battle Royale mode as it is currently, but that'd be pretty cool if they went to a more class-based system.
I like that they are still obviously putting a lot of work into the co-op Save the World part of Fortnite. I know a lot of people, when Fortnite, the Battle Royale, took off in a big way, sort of assumed they were just going to leave it to the wayside, but they're clearly putting, if not equal, maybe more work into the original game mode than they are the Battle Royale.
Yeah, I think when it comes to how much effort's going in, I think there's more... there's more manpower, more man time in the Save the World stuff, I think, because it's a lot more art assets and more actual stuff. Whereas Battle Royale, I think they pretty, as long as they keep a constant stream of like weapon alterations or maybe a new weapon type or skin, then that pretty much placates that side of things, because you don't want to add too much to mess up the balance. Whereas I think a lot of the stuff does end up going into the Save the World mode, which is kind of good.
And because of the way that this game works, anything they make for Save the World probably will find its way into Battle Royale at some point.
Yeah, definitely. It's like, I imagine a lot of the structures they make for the one-off missions in the Save the World mode either ended up in Battle Royale and turned into like generic structures, or they could in future transplant them over to add variety to the map, or maybe a new map even at some point.
Right, from the latest update from one game to the latest update to a game that will get Catty off of Stardew Valley on his Switch. Stardew Valley on the PC is receiving multiplayer.
You say that, Ace.
And that's...
And I didn't say it at the start, but I've been playing Stardew Valley on my Switch because, of course, I have. I downloaded the... Because at the moment, it's in a closed... It's in an open beta. You have to type in jumping Juminos into the... It's a thing. I downloaded it and have continued to play Stardew Valley on my Switch and have not even booted it up on my PC since... I mean, this did only drop, like, 2 days ago. Or yesterday, even, I think. And I have plans to play multiplayer with someone, but it's not happened yet.
Yeah, it definitely sounds interesting. It sounds like they've gone the whole hog and enabled most things to work how you would expect them to. So it's I'm definitely curious to have a look. It's been I've not actually put that much time into Stardew Valley on PC, so... might be a good time to have a proper look at it.
If that was an invitation to do a podcast Stardew Valley, I think we should do a podcast Stardew Valley farm.
We can get Ace into farming.
Well, something has to get me into the game, because the game hasn't. So you can look after your farm, plant things, and even marry each other. Does anyone know how many players you can have?
It's 4.
4. In an existing save, you can build cabins, and then when you exit to the main menu, you'll see it show up in the multiplayer options that you can select your previous world, or if you make a new one, you can say how many players it's for, I think.
Someone's been watching it on Twitch.
I may have been.
But yeah, I know.
Well, you just admitted you haven't played it yet.
I know Concerned Ape, that has been the guy who develops this game, has been talking for a long time about the multiplayer coming to Stardew Valley. It was supposed to come the end of last year, and then it was sort of spring this year, and now it's May, but so it's kind of hit spring, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Wasn't it sort of November last year originally,
yeah,
or something like that?
That was where anyone who's followed development knows they've basically just rewritten this whole game to make this work. Like, this wasn't an easy task. They went gone through and rewritten basically the entire game so that it works in multiplayer, or at least it works in multiplayer smoothly. There was that multiplayer mod that just was kind of a band-aid fix, where chests didn't work and marriage didn't work, or it was a bit messy. But this is supposedly, I haven't played it yet, but supposedly very, everything works.
Yeah, one little feature that's interesting is that obviously the farm's shared across all the players, and it's player inventories and things that are unique. But the interesting thing is that you can access offline players' inventory through their chests in their cabins, even when they're offline, which I thought was quite cool.
That's such a good idea. How many times have I been playing something like Minecraft and my friend has got the thing I need that's taken them hours to make, and they just log off without giving it to me or putting it in a chest?
Yeah. No, that's a brilliant feature.
Minecraft world problems.
Yeah. I think this would be a really fun game to... I wonder if the cabins are unique. So if you can have four people, do they have to be the same four people? Or could we set up a server, like over a LAN, where one PC is constantly running and just different people come in and join and just do things?
That's a good question, actually. I wonder...
Because it says those on your local LAN, but is that limited to four, or can you just have different people show up and just mess around on a farm for an hour or so?
Yeah, that might have to involve some experimentation to have a see, but yeah, that'd be interesting if so.
Right, our final news piece is the 11-bit Studios' new game Frostpunk seems to be getting a good reception from people, because they've managed to sell 250,000 copies in the first 3 days of sale. It's been out 5 days now, so we can assume that it's almost doubled.
And I think this game looks beautiful. It's for those that haven't seen it, it's kind of a city builder, almost, but not quite. The idea is that the world is frozen over, so everyone's escaped to this last sort of refuge, which is this big reactor powered by coal. And basically, you're building a settlement around this reactor. And it's basically a city builder, but you've also got sort of like philosophical dilemmas and things to try and wrap your head around. It's like, do you enable child labour, or do you just have the children sapping resources off everyone else until they're old enough naturally, or do you get them to muck in with everybody else, that kind of thing. And the options you choose raise or lower how popular you are with the rest of the people, that kind of thing. And it's very resource management heavy as well. It's like there's only a fixed amount of resources, so it's about using things carefully as well.
11-bit.
That sounds interesting.
Go on, Ace.
I was just saying, it sounds like it's an interesting game.
I was going to say, 11-bit Studios do know how to make a depressing sounding game.
Yeah, the aesthetics and atmosphere are quite... dense, but The visuals are actually quite strikingly pretty. It's like the reactor's got so many stages to it, empowering it, and how far up the tech tree with that you are determines how far out from the reactor gets heat. So like you can build houses far out and people freeze to death and that kind of thing. But the visual effect for when the reactor goes from like the nearest point to the next nearest thing, and all the you see all the snow melting on the way out, it's just a beautiful game. It really is. The only criticism I've got from what I've seen so far is that it seems like once you've finished it, you've not really got a reason to play it again because the same things happen in the same order. It's not sort of like a procedurally generated thing. It's the same scenario all the time. I think there are multiple scenarios, but once you've played through them, you've not really got a need to play through them again.
So it's not a new SimCity.
No,
I think that's just come around because of the very because it's a survival city management game, isn't it? But
yeah,
you can't really have random survival events happening because it just make it quite unfair. I think if you got something really bad early on, you might as well just restart the game. So I think they've kind of had
exactly
temper that and keep it.
Yeah, it comes down to the decision gameplay being more important than the sort of do I place a house here or set a tents here sort of gameplay. It's much more about the people than the actual place, I think, yeah.
Right, maybe I should have chosen a different news story to end the podcast on because
everybody dies. Everybody dies.
Well, I mean, go back to the actual story. 250,000 copies in 3 days is ridiculously impressive, as for an indie game at least. Release, I think even. You sell 250,000 copies in 3 days, then you're doing something right. Particularly at full price.
I mean, how many sales did this War of Mine make?
A lot. That game sold
so many.
Yeah, according to Steam Spy, which is a bit vague on the amount of owners for this War of Mine, that it overall sold between 2 and 5 million, which is a very big gap, admittedly. But even assuming the lower end,
of Mine made back its development costs in the first 2 days of sale. So
really
awesome. That's insane.
Crikey.
11-bit Studios. They play their games apparently.
Yeah. Well, they're very impactful games, and they are very thought-provoking games. They're not necessarily fun in the way that you like laughy, jokey, sort of enjoyable experience, but they definitely have an effect on you.
I mean, if you laugh at This War of Mine, you've either encountered a really weird bug, or you need to check yourself in somewhere. Because that game is about children
totally
dying in a basement.
It's about the horrors of war in a very, very real way, whereas Frostpunk takes like a different tack, but it's just as grim on the realities of survival in bleak conditions.
Well, I was hoping we could end the podcast on a lighter note, but you two just brought it further down.
Hey, I tried. Okay, I tried.
So. Okay, so some news that's just hit. Saints Row 2 is coming to Xbox One backwards compatibility today. So there we go. That's the good
awesome
thing.
I shall get on that.
The last really good one.
I was still kind of hopeful that Saints Row 1 might make a reappearance at some point.
We keep saying on Twitter that there's no plans to remake or re-release the original Saints Row. It could be misdirection, but
you'd think they'd have done it by now, to be honest. But we can but hope.
Yeah. Because Saints Row 1 isn't even on PC, is it? It's not even on Steam.
No, it was Xbox 360 only.
Yeah, that's a game that...
If it does come to backwards compatibility, I do still have my copy for 360. That's it doesn't look possible. It doesn't look likely.
See, that's even more depressing than Frostpunk.
Okay. Right. Is it the Twitch free games for Twitch Prime members or Amazon Prime members have been announced? So we'll end on that. High Hell, I Hope, Gone Home, Cluster Truck, Titan Souls, and Psychonauts. And of course, if you have Twitch Prime, you can throw Game Grin a subscription to our Twitch affiliate channel. It won't cost you a penny.
Another round of very good games.
There's the high note. Yeah, I believe I already have Psychonauts on Twitch. And I think I might have Cluster Truck.
I think I own all of these games on either Steam or GOG, but now I own them on Twitch as well.
Yeah, I think I'm missing High Hell and I Hope. But, I think I've got the others on multiple platforms.
I don't think I've heard of High Hell or I Hope, to be quite honest. But Gone Home, I've finished on PlayStation 4. Cluster Truck, I've played somewhere. Titan Souls, I think I tried it on PlayStation 4, and Psychonauts, I don't know why I haven't gotten around to finishing it yet.
Is it maybe because that game becomes very clunky towards the end?
I'm not towards the end, though.
High Hell is a shooter. A very stylish looking shooter. It's a Devolver game, but it's a very stylish shooter. You kick down doors and then kill the people. And then blow up drugs, apparently.
I do like to kick down doors.
And they made a joke about their AI being advanced because it was in the video running into a wall. I guess that's a thing. And there's goats, because of course there is.
And I Hope is a beautiful coming-of-age adventure story about a young girl named Hope whose town was taken over by cancer. Jesus Christ, why did I read that out?
I thought you said we were ending on a positive. So far, this has gone from bad to worse.
I think the only game that we can finish on that's high is Cluster Truck. It's the only one that doesn't have a down ending.
Yes, Cluster Truck, you jump from truck to truck to truck. Literally. That's it.
And if you play it on stream, the developers notice you, they'll come in and hack your game and mess around with you for like 5 minutes.
I didn't know that. That's great. I'm gonna give it a go on the Penguin Twitch affiliate stream.
I saw on one time they made the streamers just the bands become completely weightless, so they just started floating away.
Right, and with that, we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Katty and Pius. You can find us and tweet to us on Twitter at Greencast. You can find the Game Grin on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and Twitch, which again is an affiliate stream, and you can subscribe to us for free. We stream on Twitch every day from 8 p.m. UK time, and you can find this very podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or GameGrin.com. And while you're at it, game on.